We're continuing chapter 22 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. And Hermione and Ron had just gone off to do their apparition test. And Harry headed off to the dungeons. There were only three of them in potions that afternoon. Harry, Ernie, and Draco Malfoy. All too young to apparate just yet, said Slughorn genially. Not turned 17 yet? They shook their heads. Ah, well, said Slughorn cheerily. As we're so few, we'll do something fun. I want you all to brew me up something amusing. That sounds good, sir, said Ernie sympathetically, rubbing his hands together. Malfoy, on the other hand, did not crack a smile. What do you mean, something amusing? Oh, surprise me, said Slughorn airily. Malfoy opened up his copy of Advanced Potion Making with a sulky expression. It could not have been plainer that he thought this lesson was a waste of time. Undoubtedly, Harry thought, watching him over the top of his own book, Malfoy was begrudging the time he could otherwise be spending in the Room of Requirement. Was it his imagination, or did Malfoy, like Tonks, look thinner? Certainly he looked paler. His skin still had that grayish tinge, probably because he so rarely saw daylight these days. But there was no air of smugness, excitement, or superiority. None of the swagger that he had on the Hogwarts Express when he had boasted openly of the mission he had been given by Voldemort. There could only be one conclusion in Harry's opinion. The mission, whatever it was going badly. Cheered by this thought, Harry skimmed through his copy of Advanced Potion Making and found a heavily corrected Half-Blood Prince's version of an elixir to induce euphoria, which seemed not only to meet Slughorn's instructions, but which might, Harry's heart leapt as the thought struck him, put Slughorn in such a good mood that he would be prepared to hand over that memory if Harry could persuade him to taste some. Well now, this looks absolutely wonderful, said Slughorn an hour and a half later, clapping his hands together as he stared down at the sunshine yellow contents of Harry's cauldron. Euphoria, I take it? And what's that I smell? You've added just a sprig of peppermint, haven't you? Unorthodox, but what a stroke of inspiration, Harry. Of course, that would tend to counterbalance the occasional side effects of excessive singing and nose tweaking. I don't really know where you get these brainwaves, my boy, unless... Harry pushed the Half-Blood Prince's book deeper in his bag with his foot. It's just your mother's genes coming out in you. Oh, yeah, maybe, said Harry, relieved. Ernie was looking rather grumpy. Determined to outshine Harry for once, he had most rashly invented his own potion, which had curdled and formed a kind of purple dumpling at the bottom of his cauldron. Malfoy was already packing up, sour-faced. Slughorn had pronounced his hiccuping solution merely passable. The bell rang, and both Ernie and Malfoy left at once. "Sir," Harry began. But Slughorn immediately glanced over his shoulder when he saw that the room was empty but for himself and Harry. He hurried away as fast as he could. Professor, don't you want to taste my pot? Called Harry desperately. But Slughorn had gone. Disappointed, Harry emptied his cauldron, packed up his things, left the dungeon, and walked slowly back upstairs to the common room. Ron and Hermione returned in the late afternoon. Harry, cried Hermione as she climbed through the portrait hole. Harry, I passed. Well done, he said. And Ron? He just failed, whispered Hermione, as Ron came slouching into the room looking most morose. He was really unlucky, a tiny thing. The examiner just spotted he left half an eyebrow behind. How did it go with Slughorn? No joy, said Harry, as Ron joined them. Bad luck, mate, but you'll pass next time. We can take it together. Yeah, I suppose, said Ron grumpily. But half an eyebrow? Like, that matters. I know, said Hermione soothingly. It does seem really harsh. They spent most of their afternoon roundly abusing the apparition examiner, and Ron... Ron looked fractionally more cheerful by the time they set off back to the common room, now discussing the continuing problem of Slughorn and the memory. So, Harry, you can use the Felix Felices, or what? Ron demanded. Yeah, I suppose I'd better, said Harry. I don't reckon I'll need all of it. Not 12 hours worth. I can't take all night. I'll just take a mouthful. 2 or 3 hours should do it. It's a great feeling when you take it, said Ron reminiscently. Like you can't do anything wrong. What are you talking about? Asked Hermione, laughing. You've never taken any. Yeah, but I thought I had, didn't I? Said Ron, as though explaining the obvious. Same difference, really. As they had only just seen Slughorn enter the Great Hall, and knew that he liked to take time over meals, they lingered for a while in the common room, the plan being that Harry should go to Slughorn's office once the teacher had time to get back there. When the sun had sunk to the level of the treetops in the Forbidden Forest, they decided the moment had come, and after carefully checking that Neville, Dean, and Seamus were all in the common room, sneaked up to the boys' dormitory. Harry took out the rolled-up socks at the bottom of his trunk and extracted the tiny, gleaming bottle. Well, here goes, said Harry, and he raised the little bottle and took a carefully measured gulp. What does it feel like? Whispered Hermione. Harry did not answer for a second. Then, slowly but surely, an exhilarating sense of infinite opportunity stole through him. He felt as though he could have done anything, anything at all, and getting the memory from Slughorn seemed suddenly not only possible, but positively easy. He got to his feet, smiling, brimming with confidence. Excellent, he said. Really excellent. Right, I'm going down to Hagrid's. What? Said Ron and Hermione together, looking aghast. No, Harry, you've got to go and see Slughorn, remember? Said Hermione. No, said Harry confidently. I'm going to Hagrid's. I've got a good feeling about Hagrid's. You've got a good feeling about burying a giant spider? Said Ron, looking stunned. Yeah, said Harry, pulling his invisibility cloak out of his bag. I feel like it's the place to be tonight, you know what I mean? No, said Ron and Hermione together, both looking positively alarmed now. This is Felix Felicis, I suppose, said Hermione anxiously, holding up the bottle to the light. You haven't got another little bottle full of, I don't know, essence of insanity, suggested Ron, as Harry swung his cloak around his shoulders. Harry laughed, and Ron and Hermione looked even more alarmed. Trust me, he said, I know what I'm doing. Or at least, he strolled confidently to the door. Felix does. He pulled the invisibility cloak over his head and set off down the stairs, Ron and Hermione hurrying along behind him. At the foot of the stairs, Harry slid through the open door. "What were you doing up there with her?" shrieked Lavender Brown, staring right through Harry at Ron and Hermione emerging together from the boys' dormitories. Harry heard Ron spluttering behind him as he darted across the room, away from them. Getting through the portrait hole was simple. As he approached it, Ginny and Dean came through it, and Harry was able to slip between them. As he did, he brushed accidentally against Ginny. "Don't push me, please, Dean," she said, sounding annoyed. "You're always doing that. I can get through perfectly well on my own." The portrait swung closed behind Harry, but not before he heard Dean make an angry retort. His feeling of elation increasing, Harry strode off through the castle. He did not have to creep along, for he met nobody on this way, but this did not surprise him in the slightest. This evening, he was the luckiest person at Hogwarts.
Keep going.
Why he knew he was going to Hagrid's was the right thing to do, he had no idea. It was as though the potion was illuminating a few steps of his path at a time. He could not see the final destination. He could not see where Slughorn came in, but he knew that he was going the right way to get that memory. When he reached the entrance hall and saw that Filch had forgotten to lock the front door, he beamed, threw the door open, and breathed in the smell of clean air and grass for a moment, before walking down the steps into the dusk. It was when he reached the bottom step that it occurred to him how very pleasant it would be to pass the vegetable patch on his walk to Hagrid's. It was not strictly on the way, but it seemed clear to Harry that this was a whim on which he should act. So he directed his feet immediately toward the vegetable patch, and he was pleased, although not altogether surprised, to find Professor Slughorn in conversation with Professor Sprout. Harry lurked behind in a low stone wall, feeling at peace with the world and listening to their conversation. "I do thank you for taking the time, Pomona," Slughorn was saying courteously. "Most authorities agree that they are most efficacious if picked at twilight." "Oh, I agree," said Professor Sprout warmly. that enough for you? Plenty, plenty, said Slughorn, who Harry saw was carrying an armful of leafy plants. That this should allow for a few leaves for each of my 30 years, and some to spare if anybody overstews them. Well, good evening to you. Many thanks again. Professor Sprout headed off into the gathering darkness in the direction of her greenhouses, and Slughorn directed his steps to the spot where Harry stood, invisible. Seized with an immediate desire to reveal himself, Harry pulled off the cloak with a flourish. Good evening, Professor. Merlin's beard, Harry, you made me jump, said Slughorn, stopping dead in his tracks and looking wary. How did you get out of the castle? I think Filch must have forgotten to lock the door, said Harry cheerfully, and was delighted to see Slughorn's scowl. I'll be reporting that man. He's more concerned about litter than proper security, if you ask me. But why are you out here, Harry? Well, sir, it's Hagrid, said Harry, who knew that the right thing to do now was to tell the truth. He's pretty upset, but you won't tell anyone, Professor. I don't want to trouble him. I don't want trouble for him. Slughorn's curiosity was evidently aroused. Well, I can't promise that, he said gruffly. But I know that Hagrid trusts Dumbledore to the hilt, so I'm sure he can't be up to anything very dreadful. Well, it's this giant spider. He's had it for years. It's lived in the forest. It could talk and everything. I heard rumors there were acromantulas in the forest, said Slughorn softly, looking over the mass of black trees. It's true, then. Yes, said Harry, but this one, Aragog, the first one Hagrid ever got, it died last night. He's devastated. He wants company while he buries it, and I said I'd go. Touching, touching, said Slughorn absent-mindedly, his large droopy eyes fixed upon the distant light of Hagrid's cabin. But acromantula venom is very valuable. If the beast only just died, it might not have dried out. Of course, I wouldn't want to do anything insensitive if Hagrid is upset. But if there is any way to procure some, I mean, it's almost impossible to get venom from an acromantula while it's alive. Slughorn seemed to be talking more to himself than to Harry now. Seems an awful waste not to collect it. Might get 100 galleons a pint. To be frank, my salary is not large. Well, Harry saw now clearly what was to be done. Well, he said with the most convincing hesitancy. Well, if you wanted to come, Professor, Hagrid would be probably very pleased. Give Aragog a better send-off, you know. Yes, of course, said Slughorn, his eyes now gleaming with enthusiasm. I'll tell you what, Harry, I'll meet you down there with a bottle or two. We'll drink the poor beast's, well, not health. We'll send it off in style, anyway, once it's buried. And I'll change my tie. This one's a little exuberant for the occasion. He bustled back into the castle, and Harry sped off to Hagrid's, delighted with himself. You came, cried Hagrid, when he opened the door and saw Harry emerging from the invisibility cloak in front of him. Yeah, Ron and Hermione couldn't, though, said Harry. They're really sorry. Don't matter. He'd been touched if you're here, though, Harry. Hagrid gave a great sob. He had made himself a black armband out of what looked like a rag dipped in boot polish, and his eyes were puffy, red, and swollen. Harry patted him consolingly on the elbow, which was the highest point of Hagrid he could easily reach. Where are we burying him? He asked. The forest? Blimey, no, said Hagrid, wiping his streaming eyes on the bottom of his shirt. The other spiders won't let me anywhere near their webs now Aragog's gone. Turns out it was on his orders they didn't eat me. Can you believe that, Harry? The honest answer was yes. Harry recalled with painful ease the scene when he and Ron had come face to face with the Aracumantulas. They had been quite clear that Aragog was the only thing that stopped them from eating Hagrid. Never been near the forest I couldn't go before, said Hagrid, shaking his head. It wasn't easy getting Aragog's body out of there, I can tell you. They usually eat their dead, see. But I wanted to give him a nice burial, proper send-off. He broke into sobs again, and Harry resumed patting his elbow, saying, as he did so, for the potion seemed to indicate it was the right thing to do. Professor Slughorn met me coming down here, Hagrid. Not in trouble, are you? Said Hagrid, looking up, alarmed. You shouldn't be out of the castle in the evening, I know, it's my fault. No, no, when I heard When he heard what I was doing, he said he'd like to come and pay his last respects to Aragog too, said Harry. He's gone to change into something more suitable, I think, and he said he'd bring some bottles so we can drink to Aragog's memory. Did he? Said Hagrid, looking both astonished and touched. That's right nice of him, that is, and not turning me in, either. I never really had a lot to do with Horace Slughorn before. Come and see old Aragog off, though, eh? Well, he'd like that, Aragog would. Harry thought privately that what Aragog would have liked most about Slughorn was the ample amount of edible flesh he provided. But he merely moved to the rear window of Hagrid's hut, where he saw the enormous dead spider lying on its back outside, its legs curled and tangled. Are we going to bury him here, Hagrid, in the garden? Just beyond the pumpkin patch, I thought, said Hagrid in a choked voice. I'd already dug the, grave. I just thought we'd say a few nice things over happy memories, you know. His voice quivered and broke. There was a knock on the door. He turned to answer it, blowing his nose on his great spotted handkerchief as he did so. Slughorn hurried over the threshold, several bottles in his arms, wearing a somber black cravat. Hagrid, he said, in a deep, grave voice, so very sorry to hear of your loss. That's very nice of you, said Hagrid. Thanks a lot, and thanks for not giving Harry detention, neither. Wouldn't have dreamed of it, said Slughorn. Sad night, sad night. Where is the poor creature? Out here, said Hagrid, in a shaking voice. Shall we do it, then? The three of them stepped out into the black garden. The moon was glistening palely through the trees now, and its rays mingled with the light spilling from Hagrid's window to illuminate Aragog's body lying on the edge of the massive pit beside a 10-foot-high mound of freshly dug earth. Magnificent, said Slughorn, approaching the spider's head, where 8 milky eyes stared blankly at the sky, and 2 huge curved pincers shone motionless in the moonlight. Harry thought he heard the tinkle of bottles as Slughorn bent over the enormous pincers, apparently examining the enormous hairy head. It's not everyone appreciates how beautiful they are, said Hagrid, to Slughorn's back, tears leaking from the corners of his crinkled eyes. I didn't know you were interested in creatures like Aragog, Horace. Interested? My dear Hagrid, I revere them, said Slughorn, stepping back from the bottle. Harry saw the glint of a bottle disappear beneath his cloak, though Hagrid, mopping his eyes once more, noticed nothing. Now, shall we proceed to the burial? Hagrid nodded and moved forward. He heaved the enormous spider into his arms, and with an enormous grunt, rolled it into the dark pit. It hit the bottom with a rather horrible, crunchy thud. Hagrid started to cry again. Of course it's difficult for you, who knew him best, said Slughorn, who, like Harry, could reach no higher than Hagrid's elbow, but patted it all the same. Why don't I say a few words? He must have gotten a lot of good quality venom from Aragog, Harry thought, for Slughorn wore a satisfied smirk as he stepped up to the rim of the pit and said in a slow, impressive voice, Farewell, Aragog, King of Arachnids, whose long and faithful friendship those who knew you won't forget. Though your body will decay, your spirit lingers on in the quiet web-spun places of your forest home. May your many-eyed descendants ever flourish, and your human friends find solace for their loss they have sustained. That was beautiful, Harry howled Hagrid, and he collapsed on the compost heap, crying harder than ever. There, there, said Slughorn, waving his wand. The huge pile of earth rose up and then fell with a muffled sort of crash onto the dead spider, forming a smooth mound. Let's get inside and have a drink. Get on his other side, Harry. That's it. Up you come, Hagrid. Well done. They deposited Hagrid on a chair at the table. Fang, who'd been sulking in his basket during the burial, now came padding softly across to them and put his heavy head on Harry's lap as usual. Slughorn uncorked one of the bottles of wine he had brought. I have had it all tested for poison, he assured Harry, pouring most of the first bottle into one of Hagrid's bucket-sized mugs and handing it to Hagrid. Had a house elf taste every bottle after what happened to your poor friend Rupert. Harry saw in his mind's eye the expression on Hermione's face if she ever heard about this abuse of house elves, and decided never to mention it to her. One for Harry, said Slughorn, dividing a second bottle between 2 mugs, and one for me. Well, he raised his mug high. To Aragog. Aragog, said Harry and Hagrid together. Both Slughorn and Hagrid drank deeply. Harry, however, the way ahead illuminated for him by Felix Felices, knew that he must not drink, so he merely pretended to take a gulp and then set the mug back on the table before him. I had him from an egg, you know, said Hagrid morosely. Tiny little thing he was when he hatched, about the size of a Pekingese. Sweet, said Slughorn. Used to keep him in a cupboard at the school until, well. Hagrid's face darkened, and Harry knew why. Tom Riddle had contrived to have Hagrid thrown out of school, blamed for opening the Chamber of Secrets. Slughorn, however, did not seem to be listening. He was looking up at the ceiling, from which hung a number of brass pots, and also a long silky skein of bright white hair. That's never unicorn hair, Hagrid. Oh, yeah, said Hagrid indifferently. It's pulled out of their tails. They catch on branches and stuff in the forest, you know. But, my dear chap, do you know how much that's worth? I use it for binding on bandages and stuff. If a creature gets injured, said Hagrid, shrugging. It's dead useful. Very strong, see? Slughorn took another deep draught from his mug, his eyes moving carefully around the cabin. Now, looking, Harry knew, for more treasures that he might be able to convert into a plentiful supply of oak-matured mead, crystallized pineapple, and velvet smoking jackets. He refilled Hagrid's mug and his own, and questioned him about the creatures that lived in the forest these days, and how Hagrid was able to look after them all. Hagrid had become expansive under the influence of the drink and Slughorn's flattering interest, stopped mopping his eyes and entered happily into a long explanation of bow truckle husbandry. The Felix Felices gave Harry a little nudge at this point, and he noticed the supply of drink that Slughorn had brought was running out fast. Harry had not yet managed to bring off the refilling charm without saying the incantation, but the idea that he might not be able to do it tonight was laughable. Indeed, Harry grinned to himself as, unnoticed by either Hagrid or Slughorn, now swapping tales of illegal trade in dragon eggs, he pointed his wand under the table at the empty bottles, and they immediately began to refill. After an hour or so, Hagrid and Slughorn began making extravagant toasts to Hogwarts, to Dumbledore, to elf-made wine, and to... Harry Potter, bellowed Hagrid, slapping some of the 14th bucket of wine down on his chin as he drained it. Yes, sir, cried Slughorn a little thickly. Perry Otter, the chosen boy, who... Well, something of that sort, he mumbled, and drained his mug, too. Not long after this, Hagrid became tearful again and pressed the whole unicorn tail upon Slughorn, who pocketed it with cries of, to friendship, to generosity, to 10 galleons of hair. And for a while after that, Hagrid and Slughorn were sitting side by side, arm around each other, singing a slow, sad song about a dying wizard called Odo. Ah, the good die young, muttered Hagrid, slumping low on his table, a little cross-eyed, while Slughorn continued to warble the refrain. My dad was no age to go, nor your mum and my dad... Sorry, nor were your mum and dad, Harry. Great fat tears oozed out of the corners of Hagrid's crinkled eyes again. He grasped Harry's arm and shook it. Been whiz and witch, oh, their age I never knew. Terrible thing, terrible thing. And Odo the hero, they bore him back home to the place that he'd known as a lad, sang Slughorn plaintively. They laid him to rest with what hat inside out, and his wand snapped in two, which was sad. Terrible, said Hagrid, and his great shaggy head rolled sideways onto his arms, and he fell asleep, snoring deeply. Sorry, said Slughorn with a hiccup. Can't carry a tune to save my life. Hagrid wasn't talking about your singing, said Harry quietly. He was talking about my mum and dad dying. Oh, said Slughorn, repressing a little belch. Oh dear, yes, that was terrible indeed. Terrible, terrible. He looked quite at a loss for what to say, and resorted to refilling their mugs. I don't suppose you remember it, Harry, he said awkwardly. No, well, I was only one when they died, said Harry, his eyes on the flame of the candle flickering in Hagrid's heavy snores. But I found out pretty much what happened since. My dad died first, did you know that? I didn't, said Slughorn in a hushed voice. Yeah, Voldemort murdered him and then stepped over his body toward my mum, said Harry. Slughorn gave a great shudder, and he did not seem able to tear his horrified gaze away from Harry's face. "He told her to get out of the way," said Harry remorselessly. "He told me she needn't have died. He only wanted me. She could have run." "Oh dear," breathed Slughorn. "She could have. She needn't. That's awful." "It is, isn't it?" said Harry, in a voice barely more than a whisper. "But she didn't move. Dad was already dead. And she didn't want me to go, too. She tried to plead with Voldemort." He just laughed. "That's enough," said Slughorn suddenly, raising a shaking head. "Really, my dear boy, enough. I'm an old man. I don't need to hear. I don't want to hear." "I forgot," lied Harry, Felix Salicis leading him on. "You liked her, didn't you?" "Liked her," said Slughorn, his eyes brimming with tears once more. "I don't imagine anyone who met her wouldn't have liked her. Very brave, very funny. It was the most horrible thing." "But you won't help her son," said Harry. "She gave me her life, but you won't give me a memory." Hagrid's rumbling snores filled the cabin. Harry looked steadily into Slughorn's tear-filled eyes. The potions master seemed unable to look away. "Don't say that," he whispered. "It isn't a question. If it were to help you, of course, but no purpose can be served." "It can," said Harry clearly. "Dumbledore needs information. I need information." He knew he was safe. Felix was telling him that Slughorn would remember nothing of this in the morning. Looking Slughorn straight into the eye, Harry leaned forward a little. "I am the chosen one. I have to kill him. I need that memory." Slughorn turned paler than ever. His shiny forehead gleamed with sweat. "You are the chosen one?" "Of course I am," said Harry calmly. "But then, my dear boy, you're asking a great deal. You're asking me, in fact, to aid you in your attempt to destroy. You don't want to get rid of the wizard who killed Lily Evans?" Harry, of course I do, but you're scared he'll find out you helped me?" Slughorn said nothing. He looked terrified. "Be brave, like my mother, Professor." Slughorn raised a pudgy hand and pressed his shaking fingers to his mouth. He looked for a moment like an enormously overgrown baby. "I'm not proud," he whispered through his fingers. "I am ashamed of what that memory shows. I think I may have done great damage that day." "You'd cancel out anything you did by giving me the memory," said Harry. "It would be a very brave and noble thing to do." Hagrid twitched in his sleep and snored on. Slughorn and Harry stared at each other over the glittering candle. There was a long, long silence, but Felix Felicis told Harry not to break it, to wait. Then, very slowly, Slughorn put his hand in his pocket and pulled out his wand. He put his other hand inside his cloak and took out a small empty bottle. Still looking into Harry's eyes, Slughorn touched the tip of his wand to his temple and withdrew it so that a long silver thread of memory came away too, clinging to the wand tip. Longer and longer, the memory stretched until it broke and swung, silvery bright from the wand. Slughorn lowered it into the bottle where it coiled, then spread, swirling like gas. He corked the bottle with a trembling hand and then passed it across the table to Harry. "Thank you very much, Professor." "You're a good boy," said Professor Slughorn, tears trickling down his fat cheeks into the wall. "You've got her eyes. Just don't think too badly of me once you've seen it." And he put his head onto his arms, gave a deep sigh, and fell asleep. That's the end of chapter 22. Next we read chapter 23 called Horcruxes. It's bedtime, baby girl.